I believe there's got to be eyes, amen? And I believe the Lord wants you to be the eyes in your situation and in your circumstance. I believe that no one else can fight that battle for you. You've got to learn to fight. You've got to learn to war. You've got to learn to be comfortable in battle. You must. It's not a question. You must. Because somebody says, well, I'm just looking for the peace and joy, but the peace and joy is in the storm, I want you to know. It's what quietens the storm. So if your life is going to move forward, you have to learn warfare. You have to learn spiritual warfare. It's all through the Bible. A lot of times people will read the Old Testament and say, I don't understand that stuff. They're all talking about fighting and war. Yeah, that's right. Because everything that's done physically in the Old Testament is representation of something being done spiritually for you. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have eyes of the Spirit. They was not able to see the powers, principalities, and rulers of darkness and spirit where real battle is. In the New Testament, our eyes were opened. And when our eyes were opened, Paul said, now you're able to know that you don't fight flesh and blood. Some of you are engaged in fighting flesh and blood today. God wants you to know if you're fighting people, you're going to go down. God's not going to let you go over. Those are tools that a Christian are not allowed to handle. Those are situations that God has not allowed us as children of his kingdom to handle. God's called us to a new arena. They was talking about Elaine. Elaine said she wasn't on, get on to us again. Then she got on to us again. And sometime I go to Elaine and I say, honey, I don't need correction. I just need comfort at this moment. Have you ever found the comfort mode? I don't think so. But but it's been good for me. Because producing soldiers is what Jesus is all about. Correction is good to a believer, to a soldier. Because it's the way of life. It's the way to life, the Bible says. The truth of the matter, each one of us live with what we have believed for. It's the amount of warfare that we are involved in right now is what we live with. If you want to live the rest of the life, your life with what you have and what you have on and what all that situation, then happy to you. But if you're determined, God meant me for more. God meant for more. Then you're going to have to open up your life for correction, for change. And that's what the beautiful simulcast that we've been involved here in the last few weeks has been all about. It's been talking about change. It's been the unveiling, the opening of our eyes to some things that we thought we couldn't change. And God said, you can change it because it wasn't you all the time. It was the devil. And we learn that the bondages in our life. Now that's not a new revelation to this church, but it is a new revival to this church in that. About 35 years ago, that seems a long time to you, doesn't it? It doesn't seem very long to me. About 35 years ago, I'd lived with some bondages in my life that I had allowed to stay there. There was bondages of unforgiveness. I had real deep unforgiveness for my father. Now, I would never vocalize that, but they were there. The way you know things are there is because you have symptoms of those happening. When you go to a doctor, they say, what's your symptoms? You say, well, my throat hurts, all this stuff. And that symptom will tell you there's a problem there. So I dabble with that. I was pastor, walking forth. I dabble with that, let that stay in my life for all those years. I woke up one morning, and far as I was concerned, my world had ended. I entered into a warfare that I never, ever, ever thought was there. I never, in the wildest of my imagination, had any consideration that there was warfare to that level. And for the next 2 years, I was totally depressed. That's not my way. That's not my nature, I want you to know. I was suicidal. I was consistently unable to deal with people, deal with things, deal with situations. And until I was able to go back and own that floor there in East Camden, and I was able to work through forgiveness for my father, healing never came. But at the moment that I was able to work through forgiveness, then my life began to drastically change. I learned the power of warfare. During that period of time, I tried a lot of different things. During that period of 2 years, I tried psychologists, psychiatrists, I tried counselors, I tried having the strongest men that I knew of at that time to lay hands on me and pray for me. But see, the problem wasn't in them, the problem was in me. There was a doorway open in my life that I had allowed to be there. And although I knew it had to be dealt with, I just kept putting it on the backlog. And so I thought, see, they would go away. The Lord's determined he doesn't let things go away. God is determined, I'm going to deal with your life. I'm going to make you into a warrior for me. The truth of the matter, I could not fight. So during that period of time, that's when the Lord began to bring me aware of spiritual warfare. During that period of time, now spiritual warfare is kind of like the good ongoing thing now. During that day, it wasn't. You didn't hear people talk about spiritual warfare. You didn't hear people talk about fighting against the enemy, fighting against the lies of the devil, pulling down strongholds. It was an odd period of time. But somewhere after that, then in the period, but during that period of time, that's where my eyes were first opened to spiritual warfare. And literally, I had to fight for my life to get out of that depression. I had to fight for my life to get away from that suicidal spirit. I had to fight for my life. I had to fight the forces of darkness. I had to fight the enemy tooth and toenail to be able. There was a period of time, during that period of time, I could not allow myself to sleep 15 minutes without fighting. So I set my clock to wake me up every 15 minutes. If I fell asleep, I'd wake back up because I had to fight the enemy. The enemy was so aggressively coming against my mind that only fight was my only life. And then things got better. The enemy was broken. That period of time was broken there. And so then in about 25 years ago, Robert came, and this is the message that he has preached on, the message he shared during this simulcast. That's his major life message. And then about 25 years ago, he came and he delivered that message that he's been delivering on the simulcast to us as a church. And for the first time, I felt like I wasn't crazy, that I wasn't the only one that ever went through those kind of battles, that I wasn't the only one that had to fight myself free. And I found out that all over this world, believers had found themselves in bondage to things that was not right, and they were having to fight out and become free. So I'm going to talk to you this morning. I'm going to talk to you about getting free and staying free. Let me just say these words. It's pretty easy to get free. In fact, to get free, it only takes an encounter. But to stay free, it takes a lifestyle. There was five major things that we had really committed to. Let's go back. Let's go back. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to get ahead of Brother Chance. I'm going to get him mixed up there at the top. I don't want to do that. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "No, so Christ has set us free. It has truly set us free." It said, "Now make sure that you stay free." So I said, "Now make sure that you stay free." Now, in that particular chapter, it's talking about bondage to the law, but you can place that in anything. Make sure you stay free from anger. Make sure you stay free from unforgiveness. Make sure you stay free from bitterness. Make sure you stay free from feeling sorry for yourself. Make sure you stay free. You can fill that with anything. Because Christ has come to set us free. Now, God is expecting us, on the initiative is on our part. God wants us to stay free. Amen? Now, if you have a problem with believing that believers have bondage, I think Jesus really dealt with that, and Robert did too, so beautifully in the series that we had. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, in fact, deals with it so plainly, you don't even need other scriptures, although there are other scriptures, you don't need them. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 said, "But the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of the man, passes through." Notice when he says, when he's gone out of the man, he's gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finds it not. Then verse 44 said, then he says, "I will return." I want you to know, that's what that enemy that left you is saying to you. He is saying, this what's coming out of his, if so to speak, spiritual vocal cords, he is saying, "I'm going to get you back." And I see people dabble with backsliding back and forth, make commitments and lose that commitment, and they have no idea what they're doing to their future. And they have no idea what they're setting their life in the pace of such a destruction. I tell you, during the number of years I have watched people dabble with backsliding make commitments and get free and then be back in bondage. And they almost became a lifestyle. And many of those, I've had to preach their funerals of horrible deaths and horrible stuff. You don't understand. Jesus come to give you life, but the devil has come to destroy you. You got to know that. And if that hits you today, then let it hit you. You've got to quit dabbling with the devil. You got to understand that God said, call me to be a warrior, and I will be a warrior for the rest of my life. I will learn to be comfortable with fighting the devil. Somebody says, well, to have the peace of mind. The Lord never allow that. You have peace of mind. Your peace is in believing the word. God will always allow two trees. Always. He will always allow two trees. You can't get rid of the other tree, just like we did in the garden. There's a tree you can eat of, and there's a tree that you can't eat of. The devil comes to tell you what you're not, and Jesus comes to tell you what you are. You've got to make a choice if you're going to be a warrior for God. Some people want to lose that other voice. That other voice won't be lost until we get to heaven, until Satan is finally bound up. That other voice is going to be there. God's going to tell you healed, and that other voice say, you're not sure you're healed. God's going to say, I'm going to take care of you. And that other voice is going to say, but what if he doesn't? There'll always be two trees in your mind. Now, for you to think that you're going to come to a place where you're going to be away from two trees is totally impossible. Because God allows that conflict. Because it's that conflict that makes you into a warrior. It's that conflict. You choosing right. You choosing right thoughts, right beliefs. You choosing those is what makes you into a strong, seasoned warrior for God. All right, then it says, then he says, I'll return. That's what the devil's saying. He said, I'm going to get you back. He said, I will return into my house where I came out. I will return into my house where I came out. I was cast out, but I'm going to get back in there. That's what he said. And then he said, but when he comes, he finds it three things, empty, swept, and garnished. Well, swept is good. And that's what our lives have been done the last several weeks. We've swept that rascal out of our life. And now our life, and it says garnished, decorated. I tell you, it's easy to see on a person's face when they're free. I mean, we had a glorious testimony right after the early service. It came to a lady that we've been praying for against cancer, against so many situations in her life. That we've been praying for in the prayer group here that meets on Tuesday night. Diane, you've been interceding for this very lady. She came this morning. I could tell it. She didn't have to say a word. I could tell she was healed well. And it was so obvious. It was so obvious. It was so obvious. I tell you what, when you have ridded their life of the enemy, whatever that stage is, your life says it. It just, your face shines. That's what I said. I said, look at your eyes. I said, look at your eyes. They're so bright. She said, yeah. And so the Lord had done a glorious thing. Now, verse 45, though, tells us what he said. Then goeth he. And then let's say that but the third thing was the empty. I tell you, if you have been freed from the enemy, if you're going to stay free, you've got to get full. You've got to quit playing with God. You've got to get full. It's dangerous if you don't get full. A lot of people want enough freedom so where it does not bother their life, but they don't want enough freedom that they're going to have to do something to fill their life up with God. But if you don't get full, the devil is coming back. And if it is empty, notice what he says. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, even more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. Now let me tell you, there's reason behind this. The reason behind it is this. The enemy won't just come back like he was because he know you cast him out. His determination is to put you into such destruction you can never get rid of him again. So what he does, he brings seven others more wicked than himself, more evil with more evil intention, more evil plans against you, more destruction working in your life. He brings seven more destructive than himself. The enemy's intention is because he remembers that you got rid of him and he wants to make cripple your life so that you will never, ever be able to get rid of him again. So you just got to know that. I mean, that's the facts. Jesus told us the facts. That's the fact of the situation. If you've got rid of the enemy, if you've broken bondages off your life, if you've found some areas of freedom, then it looks good now, but it won't look good later unless you get filled up. And if you don't get filled up, the enemy's coming back. That's what he's saying. Right now, that tells us his thought. That's why that second verse told us his thoughts. He said, I will go back to that same house. His intention is to get back hope to your life. But he knows that if he comes back just in the same way he left, he will never be able to control you. So he said, I've got to get seven more wicked than what I was. Seven more evil. As a pastor, I wrestle with this. I told him that in the early service. I wrestle with this. Because as a pastor, you love people, and you have to make that determination. You have to say, do I take a chance with them? Do I tell them that God can free them of that? Do I tell them that God can heal them? Because if they're so inconsistent in their life, they're like a yo-yo up and down, what's going to happen is the enemy's going to come back, and where it was destructive the first time, it would be devastated destruction the next time. But I've developed my theology. I'd rather you know you can be free, so that if there's one of you that wants to go far, you can go. Amen. Because the truth of the matter is that the devil occupies one room in your life. He won't be satisfied with one room. He's going to go for room number two. And then he'll go for door number three and door number four and door number five until he controls your whole house. Until he gets all of you. And then what they're talking about in his house is talking about our families. You understand that, don't you? There's a lot of things I won't do for myself, but I will do for my family. The same way with you. You understand that when he's talking about house, that's talking about lineage, that's talking about family. What he wants to do is to destroy your family. And I tell you what, so many times, mom and dads play around, mess around with dynamite, literally, just the same as you would never give your child a poison, but that's what you do. If you play around with God, it's just like lighting a stick of dynamite and handing it to your child and walking out of the house. Say, now deal with it. It's destructive. And the devil's got so many bad things planned. So we're talking about. Then there was five areas, you remember, that Robert Connelly helped us deal with. Number one was recognize. I got to recognize a need. I got an area of bondage. How many recognized an area of bondage? And number two was discerning. I got to discern the lies that's associated with that, the symptoms that's associated with that. And then number three, I had to make it right. I mean, I have to make things right. There's no question, but I got to make things right. And that's where confession comes in. I confess my sin. That's why I see, as long as I kept my unforgiveness toward my dad covered, I thought I was covered. You understand? But what happened to me, I woke up that day and all the demons that seemed like in hell was loosed against me. See, what I thought was covered, God said, now, I've given you this time to deal with it. I've given you this time. And listen, and that's the way God does. He'll give us a season to deal with it. And then if we won't deal with it, he deals with it. And so that's what happened in that season. He just uncovered me, and then that was dealt with. So this happened to my life about 2 years ago, too. About 2 years ago, during the period of time, I became real ill real quick. I began to bleed in my body, was profusely bleeding. I couldn't get it to stop. And during that period of time, they did scope him, and they said, Jerry, it's just terrible. And they set me up then to go further. But I knew the source was spiritual. I knew that. Now, yours may be or may not be, but I knew mine was spiritual. So during that period of time that I was believing God for the healing, I knew some things I had to do. I had to make some things right. And there was about 12 people that was holding unforgiveness toward me over the period of years that I'd been pastor here. I knew that. The Bible says when you come to the altar, bring a gift, and you remember that your brother has ought against you, leave the gift and go to the altar, go make things right with your brother. So that's what I did. And it was difficult because I was sick, and at the same time, I was trying to find people spread across states now, spread across different places, trying to find out people. But during that period of time, I did. And I was able to, everyone that I made on that list, I was able to ask their forgiveness. Now, I'll be honest with you, some of them I didn't feel like I'd done a thing, but the Bible says they had ought against you. So I'm still responsible. And so during that period of time, I began to make restitution. I began to ask their forgiveness. I began to tell them, humble my heart and say, you know what, I was just wrong. If I had to do over, I would do it differently. I was wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. And then that was spread across many towns. It was spread across just many places. I had to do that. But immediately I began to get better. Immediately. When you break that hole, see, I had an open door in my life. When you break that open door, things change. And immediately when I began to make things right with people, then things began to change. And it wasn't long till they said the blood stopped and they could not find any reason at all in my body. See, now yours may have physical origin, but mine was spiritual origin. I knew it was. And the Lord's been so faithful to me. Ooh! That when there was an area of my life that needed correction, he would bring that correction into it and he would help me to recover myself in him. And I'm so thankful that the Lord. So many of your struggles may be to help you recover yourself. Because as long as those things stay hidden, then your open door, you're like, you got a cape, you're the matador with the red cape, and the bull is big. And so what the Lord says, I'm going to help you get rid of that cape. And so the Lord will help you do that. So pray. And then, of course, then it was step number four was the power of Jesus had to be initiated. We had to take authority over those areas that Satan had tried to come in and claim was his. And that's what many of you did. And Robert helped us do that usually at the close of each one of his messages. He would help us. He would pray for us. And he would take authority. Somebody say, take authority. Take authority over those forces that we had given place to the enemy. So, and then step number five, and that's what I'm talking about today, was to be a committed disciple. Because, see, to tell you the truth, see, it is. I mean, truth, getting free is just a moment. But staying free is going to take a lifetime. I must grow, and everybody say, I must fill up. The place that the enemy had occupied in my life, I must fill it up with Jesus. Now, some of you want to fill it up with, because you feel better, you're going to fill it up with your pleasure. Some of you want to fill it up with television. Some of you want to fill it up with your sporting events. Some of you want to fill it up with a new thing you're going to buy. But if you do, you're going to become wide open target for the enemy because he's coming back with seven stronger. So what you've got to do, you got to fill it up with Jesus. You got to discipline. See, God is building warriors out of us. He's making soldiers. Johnny, it's so good to meet you this morning and so thankful for you being here for the first time with us. Thank you. But God is building soldiers out of us. And he's using the circumstances in our life. And the devil is trying his best to get us to short circuit the work of God and to try to do it the way we've done it in the past and trying to misuse something and try to get by with just barely getting through with the skin of our teeth. But we're at a time of warfare and God is building warriors out of his church. Praise God. So it's just, I'm going to, in the process, I want to talk to you quickly about five things that needs to be done, that God needs to develop in us if we're going to stay free. Now, let me say that getting free is easy, staying free is difficult, or we take discipline. You're going to become a soldier of Jesus. You're going to become a warrior. You're going to become a warrior. You're going to learn how to fight for the kingdom. Now, you that's looking for easy in Zion, it's not here, honey. I don't know if some churches may be preaching. I don't think they are. I think churches is preaching truth all over this city. I think they're telling you, if you don't fight, you're not going to have. If you don't fight, you're not going to win. If you don't fight, it's not going to happen in your life. Because I believe that is the truth of the matter. The Bible tells us to fight. That was the final analysis in Ephesians chapter 6, as it lists out there when it told us to fight against spiritual wickedness. There it has to be a fight. The very moment that you quit fighting, and some people are more prone to being a warrior than other people. I'm going to tell you, I was one of those that was not. I was one of those people that didn't like the war because of my second bondage. And my second bondage was the fear of people. And it's hard to be a real warrior. In fact, I want to confess before you, I've confessed this before prayer groups, I've confessed it. There's been two major deliverances that's happened to me in the last few weeks as we went through the simulcast. In fact, it was intentional by me to have that simulcast because I needed free. The Lord began to deal with me really about 3 years ago, and then it began to work into a year and a half ago of strong, that I had laid down the original mantle that God had put on my life for this church. You don't remember it, but some of you do. Yeah, all the older ones. You look around this congregation, that's why you see a multitude of old ones. Older ones like me. Whew. But there was a time in a day that when I came out of that fierce fight of warfare, and that's the reason why we had Robert here at the beginning. They came through William and Della, and William has fought through similar battles of depression that I fought through. And so, but in the process that we made a commitment, this church made a commitment to God. And our commitment was that twofold. The commitment of this church, and you that are older here, older here, you remember, we made the commitment to always be a warring church. We said we didn't know what other churches called to do, but we was called to war. We was called to fight. We would fight for ourselves. We would fight for others. We would fight for your family. We would fight for other churches. We would fight for this city. We would fight for this state. We would fight for this nation. And we made a commitment to God to be a warring church. The second commitment that we made back there was that we made a commitment to house his presence. That we would never focus on anything any greater than the presence of God. It would be nothing that would happen in this church that would ever gain the importance of, be more important than the presence of God. Now, during that period of time, I'm talking about years and years. That's why some of you are real seasoned warriors. During that period of time, we was all trained underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. Most of you that are here that are older, I've prayed with hours daily. 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and we've went on huge long fast. I don't know about you, but back then a fast, we would fast 30 days, 40 days, 50 days fast. There's even one person in this church that went on a 3-month fast, and you think you're going to die if you miss a meal. But we knew that soldiers had to be strong. I mean, back then, talking about praying the Holy Spirit, some of you can barely get one word out. Back then, we were praying the Holy Spirit 7, 8 hours a day at times. Because we knew the things that would make us strong. If we was going to be God's warring church, we had to be able to stand and fight. And God helped us. God helped us. That's all I'd say, God helped us. And then the next thing was, like I said, the second commitment was to be a church of his presence, to value nothing or no one ever more important than the presence of God. And somewhere along the line, I say, it really happened to me about 18 years or so ago, I got tired. There's no excuses. There's no excuses that will stand up before the Lord, but somewhere during that period of time, I got tired. But I really didn't get tired if I'd been doing it right spiritually, because the Bible says I'm refreshed in the Holy Spirit. So if I'd been doing it right, I would not have grown tired. I would have been consistently strong. But during the process of that, and then about 3 years ago, God began to deal with me over that very matter. Jerry, you've laid down the mantle. But at that time, I thought I had lost it. I really thought I had. I thought God had called us as a church to be a warring church. There's two churches in this town I know that's been called to war. Now, there's probably several others because we got some great churches and great pastors. But there's two churches in this town that I know that's been called to be a war church. It's Victory and it's Zion Hill Baptist Church with my dear, dear brother and friend, Brother Chester. Back then, we would hardly do anything separate from each other. When he was involved, we were involved by vice versa because we knew that we were both called to the same destiny, same purpose, same plan of God in our lives. We knew God had called us to be a warring church. But during that process of the time, then no excuse will stand up before God. But in the process, I laid aside that mantle. That's what God revealed to me 3 years ago. All of a sudden, I felt weakness. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't explain it. I heard a lot of people probably trying. I couldn't understand. I just felt weakness. Everywhere I felt weakness. I just felt weakness. I felt weakness in the church. I felt weakness everywhere. Everywhere I'd go, I'd feel weakness. It was just such weakness. I knew that we were being set up for a kill. I knew we were, and I knew that we were not strong enough to be able to handle it. I knew that. So then really about 3 years ago, I began to make small commitments back toward the Lord in that area. But at the same time, I knew. I thought I'd missed it. I thought the mantle was gone. And then about a year and a half after year and a half of praying through that, about a year and a half ago, then God began to deal with me. Jerry, get that mantle up. I'll tell you, God just knows how to correct me so well. And he began to speak to me, get that mantle up. Quit letting weakness rule. I am here to be a strength in victory. Get the mantle up. And God really began to deal with me. Now I'm talking, this comes to Revelation over the period of 3 years. It was hard to understand what God was trying to do in my life. And then I began to pick it up. Everything has been strategic since then. Our time that we had in February with the Holy Spirit was strategic because you got to have the source of power before you can have power. And so then it became strategic. It was strategic than the one we just went through. It was no accident. It was all planned. It was all strategic what the Lord was dealing with my heart on, that we would find a place of deliverance so God could fill us full. Because I'm going to tell you what, God is emerging an army again, honey. God is emerging warriors for the glory of God. Now, the command of the Lord is really twofold. The command of the Lord is you got to call best warriors, that's seasoned warriors. And then you got to call, what it says here is weaklings. But the weaklings, I don't think, is to me, that word doesn't mean, it means young. But it's not young in age either. That's what I mean. You got those that are seasoned and trained for war, and you got those that are learning to war. And taking those side by side. You listen, the difference is this. The difference is not what you know, it's what you've been through that makes the difference. What you've been through that you walk through it with the power of God. There are a lot of people that's been through a lot of things and you came out defeated on the other end of that thing. But that doesn't build warriors. What builds a warrior is for you to go through hard, long things and you to handle it in the Lord. And when you felt like you were knocked down and knocked out, you would some way raise a hand up to God and say, I'm not out yet. I'm still have Jesus on my side and we're going to win over this thing for the glory of God. And then what that builds into hearts, it builds seasoned warriors. It builds warriors that not only knows how to fight, but have been trained in fight. In fact, the attitude of fight is the most important thing probably in the heart of a warrior. There's the attitude of fight. See, what I find out when I say young, I said not again talking about age, but young, untrained warriors, they don't have that attitude of kill. They have that attitude of making it through. It's not making it through. Is to destroy the enemy that you never ever face it again. There is an attitude of kill that has to be involved with that a warrior. Somebody said, don't you love the devil? No, I don't love the devil. The Bible tells me to hate evil, and the Bible said the devil is evil. So you take it from there. And I hate everything the enemy stands for, and all the destruction, all the pain. I've hated every time that I've stood beside a hospital bed and saw tears flowing and coursing as people would fight against things that they had no study. It hurts me when I see some of you walking in here, dragging, moving, barreling me. I hate the devil. I hate the devil. I hate the devil. But there is something that will defeat the devil, and that's a warrior that stands in the name of Jesus, and Jesus being the authority over it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's like it was in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, when Caleb quieted the people before Moses. He quieted the people. What he was addressing is that they didn't want a war. That they wanted, but they didn't want to fight to get it. That's what Caleb is addressing here. They wanted the reward, but they didn't want the fight that it would take to get it. A seasoned warrior knows this. I will war today I will war tomorrow. I will war till Jesus come, because the kingdom of God is advancing and I am part of this kingdom. And the kingdom of God is overcoming evil in every force and every way. Praise God. So Caleb said, go up at once. God said it. That's what he said. Let us go at once and take possession. But he was quieting the people because the people said, we don't want to fight. We've spent 40 years to get here, but we don't want to fight. And so that's what the Lord says into a lot. And that's why seasoned and unseasoned warriors. Unseasoned warriors want the reward, but you will learn to fight. You will. You will learn to be a conquering army for God. You will learn to conquer the territory that God has given to you. You will learn to be able to receive the promises that God has promised you. Then you will take that same spirit of a warrior and you will begin to war for others. And the same warring heart that God built in you to fight over those things and those issues that are most important to you will eventually be channeled toward fighting over issues that's more concerned with God. God's building a war. Warriors. Amen? And so that's part of it. All right, so very first thing, you've got to develop a warfare mentality. You got to develop that. You got to let God do that. He has to be able to build a mentality of a warrior. Because when you want to do something for the kingdom, you build an army. Listen to me. The word kingdom of God talks about an advancing authority that opposes the darkness that tries to resist the kingdom. So when you want to do something for the kingdom, you build an army. Now, some of you don't know it, and you don't take really advantage of it here, but something that we really highly promote. Some things you can pray through by yourself, but some things is going to take an army with you. If you have been praying over an issue and it has not been moving, then you need to take the initiative, and you need to draft in some people to help you pray through that thing. Let me say it again. If you've been praying through some things and it has not been moving, then what you need to do, you need to draft in some other people that will pray with you to pray through that thing. It takes an army to conquer. And so what you need to do, you need to take this. But let me tell you, you don't need to just, I have a little problem with prayer requests. I have a problem with prayer requests when you make requests and you don't pray. I have a problem with that. You know why I have a problem with that? Nobody's leading that army. No one is ever to take your place of leadership in winning your battle. It's your battle, honey. It's your battle. You've got to take the place of leadership to win your battle. You have to do that. Don't you let a pastor do it. No one will carry it with a passion and the heart, because no one wants to win it as more than you want to win it. So don't you let somebody else take that. But what is, if you've been praying over a situation and it has not been moving, then you look around and say, Lord, show me some people I can trust in prayer. And have a warrior's heart of prayer. And then you enlist them into your little prayer army. Every once, you know, often here on Sunday night, Wednesday night, you'll see a little group go into that little green room back here. What they're doing is that exact thing. Somebody here has been walking through a battle, and they've enlisted them a group, and they go back here. We ask that at least once a week you get with your army. If you're going to keep an army moving, at least once a week you need to get with your army, and you need, don't you walk in there and say, well, y'all pray for me. No, none of that. This is an army. We win. We conquer for the name of the Lord's sake. You understand? And so it's none of that. None. Y'all pray for me. Does anybody have a word for me? My God. Now, I believe in enlisting prayer. Now, I'm not saying that. We watch miracles happen here all the time through people enlisting, but they are praying themselves too. And you be the leader. What that means is the Holy Spirit will speak to you. When you gather that group around you, whether it's three or four or two or whatever it is, the Bible says two or more. All right. when you gather that group around you of praying people, that's two or more, that you've been praying through something and it has not moved, then you need an army to march with you to move that thing for the glory of God. And you don't quit until it moves. Any place that you've backed up, I want you to know it will always be the place of defeat in your life, and that's what the enemy's drawing the line. He will try to bring every area of your life to that line of defeat. Any place that you allow defeat to surface, that's the place that he's drawn the line. And he will try to bring every area of your life into that line where eventually you won't have one victory in your life at all. That's not the intention of God. The intention of God is what it is. And I'll tell you what, I found this to be true. Some things I need one person to pray with me. Some things I pray through myself. Sometimes I need 20 people to pray with me. There's been times I needed 100. Let me tell you what, if you're going to win this thing, you determine, I'm going into this as a warrior. I will not stop halfway. I will not stop until victory is ours and this thing is won for the glory of God. And so at the heart of the warrior, man, that's the heart of the warrior. You don't get tired. You don't get mad at people. You don't get upset. No, you're engaged in the battle. You don't have time to whine. You don't have time to complain. You're engaged in the battle. And you're engaged in this thing to win it. You don't have time to that. You don't have time. You don't have time to listen to somebody tell you how bad it is. That's not what you're here for. You know you're here to win. God's building an army, and that army must win. Amen. For the glory of the Lord. So that's what he said. And there's always going to be somewhat reasons. Now I'm going to talk to you at close right here with the area of defense. Some people fight battles like this. Not a warrior. Warrior don't fight like this. Tell you first the way people fight. Well, God, will you come and help me? Will you come and heal me? Will you come, Lord, and deliver me? Will you come, Lord, and help me deal with her? Or will you come, Lord, and help me deal with it? Will you come? That's not a warrior. Because a warrior knows he has surrendered himself to the kingdom. He's not his own anymore. He belongs to the kingdom, lock, stock, and barrel. There's not anything that he owns. God owns it all. That's why Lane was dealing with tithing earlier. You understand? I mean, God owns it all. If you're going to be a warrior for God, God owns everything. You don't own nothing. I'm here to tell you, you don't own your health. You don't own your prosperity. You don't own your peace. You're part of the kingdom. And if you're in the kingdom, that is the atmosphere of the kingdom. The atmosphere of the kingdom is provision, is healing, is peace, is joy, is victory. That's the atmosphere of the kingdom. So you're not saying, God, will you come help me? You're saying, God, how do you want to win this thing? How do you want to win this thing, Lord? Do you need my help? You want me to just stand here and believe? And more than others, he's going to tell you all you need to do is stand here and believe. Because see that the scripture there says, Jehoshaphat said, the battle is the Lord's. We usually never accept it as the Lord's. We try to be important to ourselves. And if you remain that way, what it is, you're going to become so involved in yourself. As long as you're just trying to get God to help you get healed, help you get this, help you, oh God, when you come. I mean, sick prayers. Not authority prayers. Not powerful prayers. Not prayers that turn around things and change things. Now, Lord will put up a lot at the beginning with us all. I can't tell you some of the ways I used to pray. But we grow. And we become stronger. And we become seasoned warriors in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Amen. Where we're not only fighting for it, but if you stay in that, where God's just helping you, then you're going to get so self-centered. You're going to get so self-centered. It's all going to be about you. Robert talked about that the night. Those men, I tell you, that's the funniest message I ever heard in my life. You know, he preached at the Elder Rader. Boy, y'all need to get that video if you didn't see it. That's the funniest message I ever heard in my life. It's so true. Because that's what the devil tries to say to all of our lives. It's all about us. It's not. And if you're always getting God to help you do things, it's going to remain about you. God wants you to become kingdom-minded. God, they're coming against your healing covenant. Oh, I may be the one that's sick, Lord, but they're coming against your healing covenant. It was the power of the resurrection, Lord, that they're trying to come against. It was the power of the cross that this is invading. The power of the cross purchased for me provision. It purchased for me peace. It purchased for me forgiveness. It purchased these things. So, Lord, they're coming against the power of your cross. And all of a sudden, you that stood up on that battle line, whoo, that arrow hurt, whoo, that arrow hurt, whoo, that arrow hurt. All of a sudden, you're going to find yourself standing behind Jesus. Jesus, how are you going to win this thing? How are you going to win this thing, Lord? How are you going to win this thing? How are you going to win this thing, Lord? How are you going to win it? A lot of times, Lord, you say, calm down, I got it. I had the funniest scripture last night. I started just laughing. It was when God was talking to Moses. And God asked Moses a question. How long are they going to remain so stiff-necked? God asking Moses, how long? Can you believe that? I mean, boy, there's so much comedy in the scripture. The God that knows everything asked Moses, how long? And Moses said, I don't know. Funniest thing. But God's making us kingdom-minded warriors. This is step one. We'll talk about step two tonight, to being a warrior. The step one is this. I must let it become the Lord's battle. I must come to a place in my faith where I see myself as a part of kingdom. I've surrendered everything I have to God. You know, that's the only way. That's what salvation means. Salvation is that you don't give him 10%, honey. He just don't get that much. And you don't get 20% of you, and he don't get 30% of you. True salvation, there's going to be a lot of people going to be shocked on that day when we stand before God. True salvation is 100% of you for 100% of him. That's true salvation. There's going to be a lot of people shocked on that day that's given deals with God, they think. Yeah. But when you've surrendered your whole self to the kingdom of God and you've become a part of the kingdom, the Bible says, on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's the kingdom invading earth. That's the places that you have been resisted. The places that you have been attacked. See, heaven on earth. Not God, would you send an angel to lay a hand on me? No. And you got the of heaven standing at your beckon. In fact, the book of Psalms says that the armies of heaven, that the angels of God, stand waiting to hear your voice. Give them a charge. So you're in the midst of that warfare, and Jesus is up here, man. Mighty warrior. And here you are standing behind Jesus. You see what they do in Jesus? They're coming against your resurrection. Because your resurrection purchased a changed life in your kingdom. And you hear what that devil's saying? That devil's saying that I'm not different. I cannot overcome. Jesus, they're attacking the very fabric of your kingdom being established in this world. Settle down, son. Settle down. I'll handle it. And then Jesus, every once in a while, he'll step back and he'll say, see those angels? Send them out, son. You say, angels that are hearkening to the voice The voice. Some of you need to get loud. I'm finna preach a message on you. You need to get loud. Just hearken to the voice. Hearken to the voice. Lord, why are all those angels just standing there? They're waiting for you, son, to give voice to it. Go ahead, son. Have fun. Go. You know, you have fun. So good. Lord, make us warriors. Make us warriors.